Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. This is Dave Custy. In today's program, we'll be talking with Christine Marola of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization dedicated to building better lives for the millions of Americans affected by mental illness, NAMI advocates for access to services, treatment, supports, and research, and is steadfast in its commitment to raise awareness and build a community for hope for all of those in need. NAMI is the foundation for hundreds of NAMI state organizations, NAMI affiliates, and volunteer leaders who work in local communities across the country to raise awareness and provide essential and free education, advocacy, and support group programs. And we have Christine Marola here. She is the Community Outreach and Projects Coordinator. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you so much, Dave. Great to be here.
Can I get some of your background, first of all?
Sure. Well, NAMI Metro Baltimore serves the Baltimore City and Baltimore County community, and we provide, our mission is to empower the lives of individuals living with mental illness, their families and communities, through education, support, and advocacy. And so what we do is we offer free support groups, free educational classes, we have monthly lecture series, we have a helpline. Basically, we just offer resources for folks living with mental illness and their family members. And actually, this year we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. So we have our 30th annual meeting coming up in July 18th. So that's sort of our background. I've been working there for the past 2 years. It's a great organization. Helps a lot of people.
Oh, okay, very good. Can you tell me just about the background of NAMI? It's a national organization, and of course, this is the Baltimore chapter, but what about the origins of NAMI?
Yeah, well, NAMI is a national organization, and the way that it's set up, because there's NAMIs all over the states. So there's the national NAMI that's set up, I believe, in Alexandria, and they provide national support. And then there's the state organization, so there's NAMI Maryland, you know, there's NAMI New York, NAMI California, and the state NAMIs provide training and resources for the local affiliates. So I work for the local affiliate, NAMI Metro Baltimore, that serves Baltimore City and Baltimore County, and we're the level that does the direct service. But NAMI started because of family members coming together wanting to support their relatives that were living with mental illness. And its origins sort of occurred when there was a lot of blaming of family members for mental illness. You know, people would say, oh, you clearly just didn't raise your child right, or you're abusive or something. You know, because of your parenting is why your child is suffering, you know, from this mental illness. And, this was a while ago, and, you know, it was before people knew more of the scientific background of mental illness, you know, that it is genetic, that it is inherited, and it's biological. So these family members, you know, loved their relatives, and they wanted to be able to support them and to support each other. So that's sort of the origins of how NAMI came about, family members supporting each other so they could better support their relatives living with mental illness.
And mental illness has always had a stigma attached to it, and I think hopefully it's getting more acceptable to get help. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I think definitely it's more prevalent in the media. Silver Linings Playbook just came out, and, you know, was widely recognized, won some awards, very critically acclaimed. And that discusses bipolar and various mental illness in a very approachable way, and sort of brought that to the spotlight. But I definitely think there's still stigmatization of mental illness, especially, you know, I think generally folks have some familiarity with anxiety or depression, but there's others, you know, like bipolar or schizophrenia or schizoaffective that people still aren't quite sure how to wrap their minds around. That just makes people uncomfortable. So, and there is a stigma around seeking help, I think, and admitting that you're living with a mental illness, unfortunately.
Okay, Christine, why don't you tell us a little bit about the NAMI's mission statement?
Yeah, well, our mission statement is to empower the lives of individuals living with mental illness, their families, and communities through education, support, and advocacy. So basically, you know, we want to empower folks living with mental illness, but also we recognize that for treatment and recovery to fully happen, you know, a more holistic approach is very effective. So involving family members and community in recovery, and just supporting individuals through seeking treatment and exploring the ways that they can live in a healthful, wholesome manner with mental illness. And the education, support, and advocacy come in through our free programs. We offer free educational classes and support groups on a weekly basis, both for folks living with mental illness and their family members. And we also have an advocacy committee that meets once a month, and we go to Annapolis and we advocate for mental health funding and various bills. And we also just try and get folks in the community involved in advocacy and awareness.
Well, hopefully being on this program will help to get a lot more people involved.
Thanks. That'd be great.
Sure, that's what I'm here for. So what do you see as NAMI's vision? What do you want to do? I mean, where have you been for 2 years in terms of in your experience? What have you seen change, and what do you want to see, you know, in the next few years?
Well, we've definitely expanded a lot. When I first came, one of our signature programs, the peer-to-peer program, which is a wellness and recovery management course for folks living with mental illness, it's a 10-week class, we weren't actually running it at all. And this past year, we're going to be running it twice, or we ran it twice. And next year, I think we're going to run it at least two times, if not three. We have expanded our services, our support groups to a homeless shelter. We do a specific support group at a homeless shelter for residents of that shelter. We have a partnership with DSS where we offer our NAMI Basics class, which is another signature NAMI program for parents and caregivers that have a child living with mental illness. And that, so we have a partnership with them where we're running two classes two classes a year for them. And so we've been expanding our partnerships in the larger Baltimore community. We have a partnership with UMS, University of Maryland Medical System, where we have NAMI peer mentors go visit the hospital and sit with psych patients and just listen to them and share resources and talk about their experiences. And that's expanded this year to the geriatrics unit, to the psych geriatrics unit. So we've seen just a lot of our existing programs expand, because there's always been the need. You know, 1 in 5 families are directly affected by mental illness. I think it's the same statistics. 1 in 5 individuals will experience a mental illness in...
Which is something like 60 million, right?
Right, any given year. So, yeah, I'm seeing my stat right now.
Okay.
1 in 4 adults experience a mental health disorder in a given year. So the need has always been there, but I think as you were saying, you know, with certain recent events in the news, there and other things that have brought mental illness to the forefront of the public eye, it has been a little bit more accepted. So there is more financial support to offer these programs in wider areas.
Now, that's very encouraging. Let's hope it continues.
Yeah, because there's always more need, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. So
we're actually trying to... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
We're
go
actually
ahead.
Trying to implement a workshop called the Opening Minds Mobile Workshop, because a lot of times, you know, lower income areas don't have access to our programs, either because they don't have access to transportation or there's just not that knowledge and the level of stigma is very high. And being poor has a lot of stressors that can sometimes trigger mental illness.
Okay.
So just like the whole stress. So we are hoping to try and start a workshop called the Opening Minds Mobile Workshop, where we would travel to lower income communities and hold workshops for folks. It would basically, we would have a family member of someone living with mental illness, and then like a staff member come and give a presentation about their experiences and answer questions, sort of like a traveling helpline, so people can hear what mental illness is, what it's like to live with it, the various resources that are available, and then, you know, have their questions answered. And so we've been applying for some grants to be able to get the funding to do that. And unfortunately, we didn't get them, but we're still looking for ways that we can get plugged into the community and offer that. Because our community partners are really interested in it and having it at their locations. We have some partners in Pigstown, and there's one other place which is slipping my mind right now. So we have organizations that want the workshop. We just don't currently have the funding to offer it. So that's something that would be awesome if that could happen in the next year.
I think that down the road that possibly we could do live remotes of the radio station down to the Open Minds Mobile Workshop.
That'd be great. Right? Yeah, the Opening Minds
Mobile Workshop. And so that we could broadcast it, and then people can hear what's going on, and then the interested parties can contact you, which you'll give contact information at the end of this, and maybe we can open it up nationally even, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
that's a great
it could be
idea.
A template for other NAMIs. Mm-hmm. Never know.
Cool.
Which
You're
is a great
an idea, man.
No, that's why I get the small bucks. You know? It's a great segue into my next question. I just want you to go into the various programs that you have, mm-hmm. and then we'll do kind of a step-by-step of if somebody was interested in getting help in NAMI, how they would go about it.
Yeah. Well, everything that we offer is free. It's run on the peer-led model. So our support groups, for example, for family members that have a relative living with mental illness are run by family members living with mental illness. And, you know, they've been trained at the state level by NAMI Maryland, so they've been trained to run the classes and the programs. And the idea behind that is just so your facilitators and your mentors, you know, have been in the same situation as you. They've stood in your shoes. They're able to understand what you're going through from a very personal level. So we have family support groups, which meet once a week. You don't have to register for them. You can just show up. They're free. And those are for folks that have a family member living with mental illness. We have NAMI Connection, which is for individuals living with mental illness. That's also once a week. You don't have to register. It's free. You can just show up. That's on Saturdays at 801 St. Paul Street downtown. And we also have classes. So we have NAMI Family to Family, which is a 12-week educational course for family members, and it discusses the major mental illnesses, communication skills, coping skills, different resources, basically just a crash course in mental illness and how to help your loved one, and also how to help yourself and advocate for yourself and keep yourself well so you can better support your relative. And then NAMI Peer-to-Peer is for folks living with mental illness. That's a 10-week course, and it focuses on maintaining wellness and recovery. You make a crisis intervention plan for yourself to help avoid psychiatric crisis. And if one does occur, like the steps that should, you know, happen so you can get the treatment that you want. There's NAMI Basics, which is, again, for parents and caregivers that have a child living with mental illness. That's a 6-week course. So those are the classes and support groups. We also have a free monthly informational meeting that is the third Wednesday of every month. We're taking a break right now for the summer, but we'll start up again in September. And we basically invite local mental health professionals to come and speak about various topics. And it could be employment, it could be housing, it could be mood disorders, it could be coping with the holidays, it could be a suicide prevention workshop. But it's the cheapest 2 hours you get with a psychiatrist is what we say, because it's free.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, and folks can usually they'll talk between an hour and a half, and then at least half an hour for questions. So folks can...
Now, if people who are attending these want to find out more, get more detailed, how do they go about that?
Yeah, they can call our office, which is 410-435-2600. They can email us at info@namibaltimore.org. That's info@namibaltimore.org. But yeah, I mean, we have a helpline 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So if people call that number, the 410-435-2600 number, we can help them get plugged in either into our programs. We're actually registering for all those classes I mentioned right now. So if you're interested, give us a call. Or other programs in the community if you're looking for different resources.
And you have ties to the various mental health institutions around the hospitals and various things like that. So you can lead them right in the right direction. Which leads us to, step by step, on if you have problems at home and they call you, what happens?
It depends on what sort of resource you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for support, we'll direct you to our support groups. If you're looking for education, we'll direct you to our classes. If you're looking to file an emergency petition, which is basically if someone living with a mental illness is a danger to themselves or a danger to others, you can file an emergency petition and the police will come and take them to the hospital and they'll be involuntarily hospitalized.
That was going to be my next question. On certain cases, there will be immediate action taken.
Right. So NAMI is not a crisis line, so we would refer you to Baltimore Crisis Response. We have information about emergency petitions, and we could talk you through that, but they're the experts on that. So in that example, we would probably refer you to them.
But you can lead people in the right direction.
Yeah.
You don't take it right away.
Exactly.
So tell me about the program In Our Own Voice.
Yeah, that's a great program, and actually that's one that I coordinate as the community outreach coordinator. So basically what that is, it's for folks living with mental illness, and they go through a training at NAMI Maryland, the state level, to be able to tell their own story. So we get requests from colleges, from hospitals, from, you know, nursing homes, from all sorts of various organizations and nonprofits for presentations. And so In Our Own Voice, it's when two presenters, both who are individuals living with mental illness, come and just talk about their experiences and share what it's like to live with a mental illness. And they start by talking about their dark days and then acceptance and treatment and successes and hopes and dreams. They really just go through the whole spectrum of the whole process of just, you know, those dark times and then realizing that, you know, that something was wrong and they needed to get help and what form that took. And everyone's story is different, but it's just a great way to dispel stigma, because a lot of people have a lot of stereotypes about folks living with mental illness. And, you know, our presenters are just so wonderful and all over the spectrum, you know, very diverse, you know, coming from different ethnic backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, just all across the board. You know, it's not limited to one demographic. And just seeing that people living with mental illness can live successful, happy lives, which I feel like a lot of people don't really realize. There's just that, you know, that stigma, there's this disconnect, they're disconnected with reality. But In Our Own Voice shows that, you know, like with proper treatment, with the proper resources, you know, a mental illness is not something that needs to be feared or, you know, judged or stigmatized.
So you film this and record this, is that right?
We have some recordings, but usually it's live. You know, so like an organization would call me and ask for a presentation, and then I would call my presenters and see who would be available to go out.
And how do you go about doing this? What are the steps?
If someone wants a presentation, just call the office, 410-435-2600. And just ask, you can either ask for me, ask for Christine, or just say you'd like to schedule an In Our Own Voice presentation. They'll transfer you to me, and I will get it set up.
And it must be very therapeutic for people to talk about these problems. I just interviewed the Veteran Artist Group, Artist Program, sorry guys. And they have a program where veterans, they put on a play, a performance about the issues that they're facing, and it's very therapeutic for them to act it out, and also for the audience members to see it. It's basically the same thing with what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Storytelling is very therapeutic, I think.
So that's why I want to record it, so I'll have it on the air a few times, and we'll see what people think of it, and then share ideas across the nation and the world. How's that sound?
That'd be wonderful.
Oh, very good. And you have free monthly info meetings that you mentioned, mm-hmm. and you can get access to that through the website and just call up and that. And mm-hmm. how do you choose the people that present on that?
Well, usually we do evaluations at the end of every info meeting, and there's a question, you know, it has the basic, like, did you like this info meeting? Was it helpful? But then it also has what future, you know, topics would you like to be covered? So we look at those. We also do usually like a needs assessment survey once a year to our constituents. We send it out by email, just asking, you know, what would you like to see NAMI do in the future, and what info meetings would you like, and what classes would you like, that sort of thing. So we also pull from that, you know, yearly needs assessment survey, and then also just who's available. You know, we'll make a list of the topics we'd like to see. You know, this year we did eating disorders, we did benefits, we did anxiety, we did a suicide prevention workshop, we did coping with the holidays, we did we did mood disorders, we did...
It's quite the gamut.
Yeah, so all sorts of different things. So we make a list, and then we just reach out to various organizations or psychiatrists and invite them and see if they're available, and sometimes folks are and sometimes folks aren't. So that's part of it, too.
Sounds like you have a very well-rounded program and quite an extensive network out there to choose from. What do you see NAMI in 6 months, a year, the Baltimore chapter? How do you see it's different? I know this is a tough one, but what do you kind of hope that will happen just in the short term and then in the long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I know it's sort of a basic cop-out answer, but just again, the expansion, offering more programs to more folks that need it. Actually, the National NAMI vision is for there to be a NAMI Connection support group and a NAMI Family support group. Within reasonable distance of anyone living with a mental illness or that has a family member living with mental illness, like in the whole United States. So, you know, for our programs to be accessible to everyone who needs them, you know, even though they're free, we don't, you know, we only have a certain amount of classes that we run per session. You know, we'll run 3 classes in the fall, 3 classes in the summer, 3 classes in the spring, and they always fill up. We always have a waiting list of people that want to get into the program. So just being able to expand our programs geographically, but also to offer more of them.
Well, let's hope this program helps with that, and so that helps with expansion and also to lessen those waiting lists to give them better options to get immediate care if they, you know, of course they will if they need it, but you know, in the long term too.
Right.
It sounds very sense. I can go stop. Thank you, Christine. We could talk about some of the community workshops that you have. Can you expound on that, please?
Sure. We do a wide variety of workshops. For example, we have the Children and Adolescents Workshop, which discusses, it's sort of like NAMI Basics in a nutshell. It's led by 2 parents that had a child with childhood onset of mental illness. And they just discuss what that was like, you know, various resources, various symptoms, coping skills, communication skills, etc. And then we have the anti-stigma workshop, which talks about transformational language, different forms of advocacy, basically just, you know, awareness of mental illness and like how to fight stigma of it. We have our Smarts for Advocacy workshop, which is... It's directly to get folks comfortable with telling their story in a way to be able to advocate for mental health reform. So, for example, we have a day in January called Advocacy Day, and we all go to Annapolis and meet with our legislators and, you know, basically advocate for mental health reform, increase mental health funding, that sort of thing. And we usually hold a Smarts for Advocacy training, you know, in the month before that to help people like role play meeting with their legislators, telling their story, talking about like why mental health is important to them. And, just getting comfortable with the different ways of talking to our legislators and advocating, be it through phone, through email, through in-person meetings, that sort of thing. And it helps people condense their stories because oftentimes, you know, it's easy to sort of ramble, but it helps people pull out, you know, the precise points and be able to tell in 5 minutes how mental illness has affected you, why it's important, what changes we want. So that's a great workshop. We also have, in our own voice, we have Virtual Voices, which is, it's an experiential workshop. Participants listen to voices, basically. We bring a bunch of CD players, and participants listen to them. And the script is done by a psychiatrist who actually, she has schizophrenia herself. And the actors that do the voices have schizophrenia as well. So participants listen to these voices and then have to go to these different stations and do different tasks. So NAMI volunteers role play as psychologists and psychiatrists and day treatment staff and psych ER staff and nurses and so the participants, all while listening to these voices, have to go complete these different tasks. And it's a lot more difficult than you might think, and a lot more physically exhausting as well. So then there's a debriefing after that to help people unpack those experiences and relate them to, you know, everyday life, and then also for folks to ask questions. So that's a great workshop, and we actually offer that for the Baltimore City Police 5 or 6 times a year. So we do that for the cops that are still in training before they go out. Well, actually, it's after they go out into the field, but it's, yeah, I think all Baltimore City cops are required to take it. So it's part of BEST, which is I'm going to forget what it's called. It's the Behavioral Emergency Service Team or something. Maybe don't include that. But it's part of the mental health training that they do it for a period of 3 days. Baltimore Mental Health Systems does it. BCRI does it, which is Baltimore Crisis Response. BCARS does it, which is Baltimore Child and Adolescent Response System, I believe. So a bunch of different mental health agencies are involved in that training. So, yeah, I tangented a little bit, but those are some of the community workshops that we have. And we also just do, you know, basics about NAMI if people are interested in learning more about NAMI in our programs.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the programs, the fairs and festival program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, that's just basically, it's community outreach. So whenever folks are in the community are having fairs and festivals, sometimes we'll get invited to go have a table. And so NAMI members will go and, you know, take all our flyers, take all our brochures, hand them out to folks that are interested. People can sign up for our mailing list. We have an e-newsletter that we send out once a month, completely free. We promise to only send 1 or 2 emails a month, not spam you, all that. and it just has all of our free programs and events coming up in it. So it's the best way to keep up to date with what's new with NAMI. But yeah, so just very, you know, we'll get requests to come to like mental health fairs or just community fairs or, you know, just different events around the Baltimore City, Baltimore County community. And we always need more volunteers for that. So if anyone is ever interested in volunteering to represent NAMI at fairs or festivals or volunteer in any other capacity, you know, NAMI has a lot of great volunteers that help run our classes, our support groups, everything. Definitely give us a call because there's a place for you.
Very good. Well, we'll get the word out. We'll do a 30-second spot. I was just discussing that with you. And sprinkle it throughout the programs throughout the week so people can have the information. And hopefully they can come and volunteer. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, is there any other thing you want to talk about in terms of your involvement?
Well, I would just like to say that, you know, the way I got involved with NAMI is that I was a psychology major in college. And at first I got into that just because, you know, human nature is really interesting to me. But then one of my close friends actually had a psychiatric breakdown. It was our freshman year of college, and he had some run-ins with the police. He had some rage issues, And my friend, he is like the meekest, sweetest, like most peaceful person. So it was just, it was a huge turnaround for him. It's just really shocking. And he was hospitalized, and he was in and out of hospitals for basically a summer. And I spent a lot of that time visiting him and just wondering, you know, if he would get the help he needed, if I would ever see, like, the friend that I knew and loved again, because his personality was just so drastically changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and today he's doing so much better. You know, he's gone through medication and treatment. And
that's good to hear.
Yeah, he's really, like, the friend that I knew and loved back in high school. And, you know, and so I just want to let people know out there that, you know, are either suffering from mental illness or have a family member living with mental illness and might be discouraged about it. You know, there is help. There are resources out there. And it does get better. And it might seem bleak for a while, but there is a light at the end. And, you know, if you need help, just give us a call at 410-435-2600. We'd love to talk with you and help refer you to those resources. So,
I think we should work on that in these programs, because there's still a stigma out there and the trepidation mm-hmm. of calling people. And just feel free to call. There's no shame in this at all, family members. It happens to most every family, where there is a certain extent in everybody. So just call. Call and get help, because they're out there. These are good people. Christine and her colleagues there at NAMI, and she gave the number. What's the website address again?
It is www.namibaltimore.org, and that's N as in national, A as in alliance, M as in mental, I as in illness, baltimore.org.
Great. Then just as an aside in this program, we'll be exploring all different aspects of NAMI and mental illness in the upcoming shows, but we also will be trying to expand your base, and that's just throughout Baltimore, throughout Maryland, and we'll talk to people nationally and internationally and just get their ideas, and you can network with that, and hopefully we can just really make you up to another level. Not that I'm the do-all or end-all, but maybe we can get a lot of people involved, you know, on a permanent basis. I like the idea of people coming and volunteer, and it's something that makes you feel good while you're helping other people too. And I think this could be the start of a beautiful relationship.
I look forward to it.
Well, thank you for being on the show. I've been talking to Christine Marola, the Community Outreach and Projects Coordinator of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I'm Dave Custy. You're listening to the Baltimore Internet Radio. And thanks for listening. And we'll be back probably next week, hopefully, with NAMI, do you think?
Great. Yeah.
Okay,
why
great.
Not?
Yeah, I'm a little tentative because we're just starting out here. And I just kind of right now hope there will be a next week. But I'm sure they will. Thanks again, Christy.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having us.
I think it's a wonderful organization, NAMI. Thanks for being here. Christine, tell the people how they can donate to NAMI and the various methods there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're feeling generous today and you'd like to donate to NAMI, you can always do it through our website. It's just www.namibaltimore.org. There's a Donate Now button. You can do it through Razu. It's very simple and easy.
You can. So Razu is like a PayPal type of thing?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Just so people know that. Yeah.
Yep. And then you can also call our office and pay by credit card over the phone, or you can send us a check to 5210 York Road, Baltimore, Maryland, 21212.
And if people come in, they can give you cash?
Yeah. Yeah, come so visit us. Yeah.
It's always to ask that with all the various methods you have nowadays. Say, oh, yeah, well, cash, too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I guess you can mail us cash, too, if you want.
No, that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Christine, and make your donations today.
Okay? Thank you.
And many, please. NAMI is a great organization. Thanks again for coming, Christine.
And thanks for having us.